So, I have Sean McDonough here.
What's up, dude?
Awesome.
Yeah,
it's so cool to have you on the podcast again.
It's nice to be in person this time.
Yeah, we did, like, I looked it up. It was, like, January 3rd of 2021. It was just, it was so cool to get you on the first time because, like, you seem to be actually, like, doing the thing, like, doing stand-up. Like, you had an album. It was, like, cool. It was, like...
I haven't done anything since then.
No, it's tough, you know, with COVID and everything, everything sort of changed, but, like, it seems like, but also, it just seems like you've carved out, like, a good thing that you're doing in comedy. It seems like you're always busy with doing stuff, and...
I have fun.
Does it feel that way, like, that, or...
I mean, I have fun. I don't really, I don't get booked as much as I would like, but it's because I don't ask people to book me.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
Yeah,
I don't ask to be booked. It's such a hard thing.
There's nobody to blame but myself.
Like, no, it's tough, though, because, like... It's such, I was talking about it, I had this really good conversation with Joe McAndrew about being on Powerbottom, and he was cool about it, and I never asked to be on, but we, like, had the same, like, thought about it.
Right.
Because he saw me kill that Angelo's thing, so I was just like, okay, I'll do that. But it was hard, because I'm just like, I don't know, and I never ask.
Right.
And I go through, I don't know, I think this is the same with everybody. You, like, go through, like, a cycle of either confidence or, like... You're just, like, low confidence. You're like, oh, this is nothing, like...
Yeah.
You kind of have, like, that, like, imposter syndrome of, like, oh, am I doing this?
And absolutely.
Then anytime it goes well, you're like, this can't be. I'm hoodwinking the system somehow.
I don't quite feel like that. I don't know. I just don't... I feel fine when I'm on stage. It's
right,
all the shit
exactly.
off the stage.
I
don't care.
That's exactly...
Like,
I said that on stage one time, and it, like, it came off more sad than I meant it to be.
Yeah.
It was like, no, this is, like... The fun part.
Yeah, exactly.
Everything else is...
Even if I eat shit, I don't give a...
No,
because really
you get to go up there and
do
your thing.
Right, I don't care. It's like asking somebody, be like, hey, man, can you invite me to your party? That's what it feels like.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean? It's like... But, yeah, it's... I mean, that's the whole part of the business side of it, I guess.
Right.
Trying to make it a business.
Yeah.
So, you know. I got a couple... I got another year in me before I fucking do something or quit, I guess.
Right,
know?
Yeah.
Something like that, but...
I know.
Actually, that's not even true, because I have fun. Whether anything happens
exactly.
or not, I'll...
Yeah.
You know.
I think, to me, I'm always, like, the main thing that I make is if I'm in the same place when I'm older, that'll be when I get upset. Because I always have to remind myself of my age, like, how young I am when I started, and, like, I'm going to be 30, like, at the end of the month. It's just, like, you know, I sort of have that. What age did you start doing comedy at?
I think I was 30 when I started. Maybe 31.
Oh.
30, 31. Yeah.
So really, it hasn't really been too long. It's been like 6 years, right?
Five years.
Yeah. It's just, I think we started around the same time.
I did my first open mic in 2017.
Oh, okay.
And then I think I did like one, maybe two in 2017. And then I like started... In 2018, I'd say, is when I really started. So I guess I'm close to 6 years in. I like to pretend, you know, be like, no, I didn't really start till whenever. But
right,
I started in
exactly.
2018.
No, it's crazy how it just starts and then you just get into it for so many years.
Yeah.
And it just flows together like you can't even imagine.
Yeah.
You know, it's so crazy. I look at everyone that, like, I started with, like... I started with Mark Henley, and to see, like, where he is now, it's insane.
Yeah.
Because he was just, like, this guy that was a couple years older than me.
Right.
And it was just, like, so cool to just see everything that he's done.
Yeah.
And
shout out to Mark.
Yeah, so cool.
Awesome,
and
we
were at his thing.
That was
Thursday. Right? Last Thursday.
I think it was Friday 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, Friday maybe.
It was a Friday night for sure.
Yeah, it was really, really good.
Yeah, it was very fun.
And
it was a cool show.
Yeah, I like that. I like the... It's hard with those group of people because, like, I'm not... I don't dislike anyone there. I get along perfectly with them. But they're just... They don't know me as much as these people down in, like, the Jersey Shore where you know
right,
me.
Right, of course.
So it's like I never know if it's going to be the same energy. But they were all really, really cool. And...
You killed at the CFC thing the other day, dude.
You did really well, too. I like how, with you, I feel like everyone is afraid to roast battle you because you're such a good joke writer. Everyone's like, I gotta pull out some wild shit that'll just be like, that'll just throw everyone off from how much poorer of a writer I am.
Roast Battling's rough, dude. Roast Battling's tough because I used to really like it. I liked it because it made me write jokes.
Yeah.
And then I had some losses that I took personally. And right. Now I'm just having fun.
I feel like you just have a straight man energy up there that can kind of be like easier to upstage when someone wants to do something wackier.
I'm not a high energy one-liner guy.
No.
You know what I mean?
No, you just are like very smart with your stuff. I just love Thanks, that man. About you. Like,
I appreciate that.
I feel like you've really nailed whatever, you know, a comedy voice is. I feel like you've kind of nailed yours to a point.
Well, it's the same shit that I was doing before I ever did stand-up. I just figured out how to, like, package that so that it works as stand-up.
Right.
It's just me talking shit.
Right.
It's just me calling stuff
And
dumb.
It always seems like you are the best at having a good time and getting the audience on board, too. You know, it can be the hardest thing to build something from nothing. I saw you do that at a Mark's show, and you just opened for him, and it took a little bit, but yeah. You just sort of got them on your level, and I was like, this is masterful.
I mean, I like to fuck with people. I like to fuck with the audience, too.
Right.
I try to...
And I mean, I think you're always subverting stuff with just your look and everything. You just sort of... You turn everything on its head that people think is going to go down.
I do think that I think people think I'm going to be a certain way because of the way I look, and I don't meet that.
Yeah, that happens to a lot of people that I know, a lot of comedians that I know.
Yeah.
And it happens to a few people that are starting out now, and I'm like, yeah, it's a tough thing to storm. Like, people will just see one thing and they want that.
Yeah.
When I started getting like the super huge like meme thing that happened to me was when I started getting really popular. It was hard on me because I grew up like with that, but it was always in a negative way of like people making fun of me.
Okay.
So I never took it seriously.
Right.
I never took it seriously like that these people actually like me.
Gotcha. Because
I always just be like, am I like the local town idiot or something?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, no, these people love you so much.
Yeah, I've had similar kind of feelings. I don't know. It's weird. I don't care, and then I care way too much at the same time.
Right, exactly.
And when things are going well for me, and that doesn't necessarily mean that like I'm doing more. So it just means like when I'm doing well, like mentally and shit,
right.
I really don't give a fuck, you know?
Right.
I don't care.
Yeah.
You know? And then it's all the smoke and mirrors game, too.
Right,
like, you
exactly.
can watch, like, you know, you watch fucking... I'll go on, like, social media, and I'll be like, everybody's doing so many shows. And it's
oh,
like, and
yeah.
then you go do those shows, and there's four people there.
Yeah. And
you know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear people talk about them. They're like, oh, no, we didn't get paid. That was awful. The crowd was awful.
Yeah.
And it's just like, the grass is always greener. That's what
always.
I've learned.
Yeah.
You know, when I met Elazar, like, once before he left to go to New York when I was starting out. And then I saw him on Facebook all the time doing all this stuff. And, like, I was all like, oh, my God, he's doing all these things. And then I went to his stuff. And, like, he's a very good guy, but, like, stuff just doesn't work out sometimes. And you're like, oh, this is what you've been dealing with in New York. I had no idea.
Yeah, New York, the big city of dreams, dude.
Yeah. Have you done a lot of stuff there?
I've done a bunch of, like, development room stuff mm-hmm. up there. And I don't know what the answer is because And maybe that means that I don't have what it is that you need to pursue it. I don't know. But,
right.
like, doing 5 minutes for, you know, whatever, for fucking... I'm just not interested in
right.
driving up there to do
yeah,
5 minutes.
Yeah, to do 5 minutes for
you
anything.
You know, for some, like, whatever. I mean, that's not me. That's just not what I'm interested in.
Right.
So I don't know what the answer is.
But it totally, you know, you have to do what works for you. You know, it's so tough. I never, like, when I lived with Vijay, he used to go to the city all the time, and I never was able to go with him. Like, he would do, like, these, like, you know, the 3-minute mics, like, all around.
Yeah.
And it was like, that's cool. I just don't know if I'd be able to do that just with my, like, physical energy. And also just, like, for me, I'm like, when I perform, I sort of, like, he's really good because he's Italian and he's talkative. I'm like, I can only be... like social for like 4 hours and then I become like a dick to be around.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I get tired really quickly socially.
Yeah.
So it's like tough. And I remember when I started, the only time I went to New York a lot was when I was like a year in or so, and I would do like these bringer shows, which was like fine because like I could practice material for a month and do them, and like family and friends would be there. But I look back at it now and I'm like, why did anyone let me talk for 5 minutes?
I mean, that's just part of it. That's just part of the game.
Yeah.
I don't know what the answer is. I don't know
yeah.
if you try to, you know, I don't know if it's like I don't know. I don't know if I'm willing to uproot the life that I have.
Right. Like, is this, no, it's tough because you got to take whatever.
Is this a career or is this something I like to do?
Oh, exactly. Yeah. You know? It's tough. Like, to me, it's such a tough thing because it's like we put our whole entire, like, we kind of, the tough thing that I've had to learn to deal with is like not to put your entire, like, self-worth into things because that's right. Not really healthy.
Right.
To be like, oh, I'm a comedian. This is what I do. Like, you know, it's such a hard thing. You attach, like, this, like, that's a part of you somehow.
Yes.
And you're like, okay, if I'm not doing anything, you feel like you're not doing anything.
Right.
And then you're like, you just live life, too. You know, stuff just gets in the way.
Yeah.
You know, everyone has their schedule. Like, I was talking to, when I had that great conversation with Joe McAndrew, the only thing that was, like, kind of annoying, and he kind of got it, was, like, he tell me to go more to, like, Jersey City. It's like, I could if I would. Like, I could totally do it. Like, I've been trying to, now I've just been trying to, like, build up, like, contacts and friends, because that's always what I've done.
Right.
Like, you've been really good with, like, taking in Montclair sometimes. Like, that was really, really good.
Anytime I can drive, anytime we're going to the same place, man, I don't have a problem with that. I don't mind giving somebody a ride.
Yeah, I'm very good. I've become very good at, like, I'm very comfortable with how good of a ride I am with people, because that's just what I've been doing since I don't drive. I've just been good with, like, hooking up with different comics and being like, okay, we can go in these car rides. And, like, you know, it's also crazy, the, like, how close you get with people.
Yeah.
And how it really affects your jokes. Like, everyone that I sort of went in a car with and, like, traveled with to do comedy, they have made my comedy better because they all have different styles than me.
Yes.
Like, when I started traveling, it was with going, people that would give me rides was John Beecroft, and he's like a one-liner comic.
Right.
Like, that was cool to, like, learn that style.
Yeah.
And then VJ is, like, he does, like, dark humor, but it's smart dark humor. So it's, like, stuff. And then just being him and being in a car with him and DiCaprio was just crazy.
Yeah, shout out to DiCaprio. I don't know what you're doing, you maniac.
Yeah.
I know you're gonna see this.
Yeah, exactly.
Fucking
65-year-old, 12-year-old
The people need to know how old you are, Dan. You fucking old fuck.
Do you know how old he is?
I'm sure. I don't know. He's probably my age, but it's funnier that I don't
know. I know how old he is.
Yeah, no, so I know funny. That people do. It's funnier that it doesn't matter because...
He looks so young for his age. It's weird. It's like,
yeah,
how do you look that way?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm fucking...
But he's like someone who I feel like, you know... I always get on him because I'm like, you know, if he just went, like, he doesn't want to do it, but if he just put all his stuff on TikTok, like, all his stand-up, and just turned the comments off, he would become, like, super big, like, so much more bigger than he is.
Turn the comments off because he can't handle it.
Because he can't handle people commenting, but it would be like,
dude,
he'd become, like, a cult of personality.
Arguing with people in the comments is probably the way to get the engagement.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That's the whole other thing, the whole clips thing.
Oh, yeah, the clips thing is tough.
Like, it's weird because I've always had this idea of, it's funny, though, because I'm like, I don't want to put clips out and then people come to the show and they see me do the jokes.
Right, exactly.
But they're not the same fucking people. Like, who?
No, they're not the same people.
Fucking...
And everyone gets to sort of see, like, this is the thing that I adore. It's like, everyone gets to see the experience of stand-up. Like,
right.
That's the cool thing.
Right.
Like, I think one of the things that's, you know, stand-up is the only art form where we have to sort of teach the audience how to be an audience. It's like, everyone knows how to behave at a movie theater. Everyone knows kind of how to be at, like, a baseball game or whatever. But you can't constantly have to teach the audience, like, how to react.
I hear you, but I don't know. I've been to some loud-ass movie theaters.
Right, exactly, yeah.
I've been to some rowdy-ass baseball games.
Right.
Stand-up is the only thing where what you're doing... I think it's the only thing where what you're doing is the people all think that they can do it.
Right.
Like, because you'll see somebody play a song.
Right.
And it could be the worst fucking song of all time.
Right.
And at the end, everybody's like...
Right, exactly.
And you don't get that when you're doing jokes. Because everybody thinks that they can... And most people are funny to some extent.
Most people are funny.
Or in a certain context or around whatever.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I have a friend... I went to a Friendsgiving thing a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. And I have a friend, great dude. He just crushes with, like, movie quotes.
Right.
Like, he just puts them in at the right time or whatever
that's
it is.
Great.
They're relatable to everybody. He destroys with them. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, like, that guy, you know, that guy's funny in his own world.
In his own world, yeah.
Yeah, he's not, he's going to do stand-up, he's going to suck.
Right.
But he doesn't have any desire to.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's always cool when people just have their thing. Like, I'm always so impressed. My sister's boyfriend's the same way of, like, just how funny they are. I'm always envious of people who are funny in real life. Because I'm like, it just comes out on stage for me. And it's like, I just, you know, I think it's the same with a lot of comics. We just sort of, like, accumulate it in private during things. And we're just like, okay, now this is my time to shine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
mean, I crush in real life.
Yeah, you do. I mean...
Fuck it, I fucking...
No, you have a good time.
I destroy my fucking fiance. Viciously make fun of her to the point where she laughs all the time. It's probably going to be the end of my relationship at some point because I'm never going to know when to stop.
Right.
But, I mean, that's just like, I don't know, finding a time to insert something. I don't know.
Whatever. Right. Is she, like, super supportive of everything?
Kind of. I mean, I think, I don't know if she thinks it's like a, I don't know if she realizes how seriously I take it,
mm-hmm.
which is fine. Right. I mean, she's supportive of it whenever it doesn't interfere with whatever she has going on.
Right.
You know, yeah. When it's like something that interferes with what she has going on, sometimes she gives me some shit.
Right.
Whatever, just because she likes me.
Right.
She just wants to spend all her time with me, which is fucking, which is so fucked up. fucked up for me. To think that somebody wants to hang out with me like that.
Right.
Because I don't want to hang out with myself as much as she wants to hang out with me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, that means...
But, yeah, she's pretty supportive of it, I guess. Like, I don't know. I mean, on a certain level of it. Right. You know?
When you start doing it, was there, like, a shock from your family that you were doing stand-up? Or were they like, no, this chick's out, he's funny?
I think it made sense. I don't know. Yeah, I think my mom was pretty... supportive of it. My dad was kind of like, oh, I guess it's something they're doing, you know?
Right, whatever. Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've been funny in my family, so I don't know. They don't come to a lot of shows or anything, but I don't really want them to.
Right.
I want to be honest.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's such a different, you know, universe when, like, people you know watch you do stand-up.
Well, I also want to talk shit about them.
It's yeah, exactly. It's weird if they're there.
If I'm being frank about it, it's weird if they're there.
Yeah.
Like, there's certain shit I say about my family that's uncomfortable if they were to hear it.
Right, exactly.
So I need to start getting paid to say that shit.
Say that shit.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Like, I'll be ripping on them, and then maybe I can be like, well, you know what? I paid for vacation this year.
Right, exactly.
Until then, don't come to my shows.
Yeah. That makes sense.
I don't need you guys there hearing me talk about your fucking idiosyncrasies. You know?
Right. Yeah, I always feel like you also just put sets together in a fun way of just the starting of it, too, is always fun. Because you, like, really see, like, where the audience is at with your level that you're willing to go to.
Yeah.
It's like, you guys got to get ready for this.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not, like... trying to be like edgy.
No, it doesn't come off that way at all.
I also don't. I like uncomfortable things are funny.
Uncomfortable, yeah.
That's the funniest stuff. So I try to like package stuff in a way that, like, I don't know. I mean, but then maybe that's a problem because I'm like it's supposed to be funny. So the sort of like misdirect or the shock is part of it.
Oh yeah, for sure.
But like, I also wanted to. In order for it to be something that, like, is memorable sometimes, like, if it's clever or it's making, like, kind of... But I'm also not one of those people that's, like, I'm trying to make a point with my
right.
comedy.
Right, oh, of course.
Because I'm not. No. Because, like, if that's what I was trying to do, I'd be doing some other shit.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, if I wanted to go make a point, I'd be, like, a TED speaker or, you know...
And I don't think...
Get into politics.
I don't think it comes
like
off that way. Even with the stuff that you do that's kind of deeper. Like, it's always... One of my favorite comedians... that I think would be surprising that a lot of people to hear is, like, I love Ralphie May. Like,
Ralphie May is awesome.
Like, fucking awesome. Just the way he could just, like, dichotomize things is, like, what I like in comedy.
Yes.
It's, like, I like the layer of that. And I just love that, like, I don't know if you'd want to talk about it, but, like, your closing joke, I like a whole lot because it encapsulates, like, your entire personality so well.
Which joke?
The joke about, we didn't kick you out because you're gay.
Oh, right, right.
Like, that whole entire, like, thing, the superhero thing. It's just so, like that's, like, you in a nutshell to me. That's,
well,
like,
I mean,
that's his bit.
It's just, like, I fucking drove by this thing, and I'd be like, what the fuck, dude?
Right.
And I know that I'm not the only person that was like, what the fuck? And honestly, it's funny because I don't know if you remember at Murphy's, there was a guy that used to come to Murphy's.
Yeah.
And his wife was the ad person that put that campaign together. So he gave me a t-shirt.
Oh, he gave you a
t-shirt. I have a t-shirt that has that campaign on it because she also did that campaign. So, like, a campaign, I guess, like, a marketing thing is meant to stir something up in somebody.
Yeah.
And then, like, that whole idea of, I don't know. I don't know if it's just, like, and maybe to some extent I'm guilty of this. I think that, like, the idea that, like, the democratization of media can fucking make people think they're more important than they are.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean? Like, you'll see it, like, I'll see it, like, but what's worse, right? Like, I'll go on Instagram, or every once in a while, if I go on Facebook Marketplace, I'll look on Facebook.
Yeah.
And I'll see people, and they're putting out their bold whatever takes, or something. Right. Like, Twitter's the best.
Yeah, Twitter's the best for that.
Like, yeah. I'm a fuck, and I never...
Yeah. I mean...
I've never been active on Twitter, but I'll dip in from like, time to time. And it's like, everybody's not quality. Like,
no,
You're all entitled to your opinion.
You're entitled to your opinion.
But it doesn't mean that it's good.
But it doesn't mean that's good. No. Right. No. I spend way too much time on
Twitter.
But
then who the fuck am I to say that my opinion's good? But I make my opinion... I try to make my opinion funny. So I'm
doing
the
same
shit that
they're doing. You're kind of... But I think it's always like... The cool thing with comedy is... The one thing that's really hard about it... And I've said this recently... Is it's one of the most things that's like... The most simple and the most... Like, constructed thing... Like, we like to think about and overanalyze so much as comics, and then we're like, no, this is just silly. And it's a thing I'm always guilty of, is, like, making it more important than it is.
Yeah,
and romanticizing it and being like, yeah. And then on some level, I just would be like, yeah, this is fucking stupid. I'm talking about my balls. I'm not doing something, you know?
Well, then, and then, like, that whole, like, joke, like, I try to... Anytime I do a joke where I understand that perception can be perceived one way politically,
right, exactly.
I always like to have a counter to that that
right.
follows up.
Exactly. It's like, perfect for,
because
for
I don't,
both things.
Because, so. Like, I don't, I mean, I don't want to be, like, I'm not necessarily a political comic.
No, I wouldn't say that.
But, like, I don't want to have, my biggest nightmare would be, like, and it would be, like, MSNBC or CNN,
mm-hmm.
and this is obviously, like, if I was important enough for
right,
us,
right? Exactly.
Like, being, like, comedian tears down Trump supporter, or, like, Fox News or Newsmax being, like, comedian rips liberal.
Right.
Like, that's, like, my worst nightmare.
Right,
to have,
exactly,
like,
yeah.
That kind of stuff be, like, because it's, like, the whole point I'm making is that everything's fucking stupid.
Right.
My world point of view is that everything's stupid. I'm a fucking cynic.
I love that.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like...
Because I'm the same way, so I love hearing you talk about that stuff. Because it's just, like, it's so tough now, especially with like, how it is in comedy. I always feel like, you know, we say it all the time, but it's, like, it's context and just people. Like, I think, you know, what a lot of the comics that I like that are very, like, kind of edgy are, like, super sweet people. So, like, I can't grasp, like, someone... I hate when people do comedy for, like, the wrong reason. Because, like, I just hate seeing that. Because everyone I see that does, like darker stuff is, like, a super good human being.
I think...
So, I'm like, when I see it done by someone bad, I'm like, oh, yeah, this is not...
Well, like, the other example of it is always, like, the... And it's obviously extreme examples of it.
Right.
The other example, like, the other side that of that coin that you can say is the person that's, like... Yeah, social justice. And then you find out that they, like, rape people.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, nobody wants to be
yeah.
that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's the same thing. And, like, to me, I'm always, like, I'm a super, like, left-wing guy. And, like, it's so, like, but when it comes to comedy, I'm very flexible with just allowing people to be themselves, because that's what I feel like comedy is supposed to be. It's expression.
Yeah.
And, like... As long as there's of course so many ways that you can like go wrong with it, but I think for the most part, from what I've seen, is like there's not really a whole lot of evil people in stand-up. There's a little bit, but not as much as people think. And I don't think people really think of that.
I don't know. I don't know everybody's personal life and what
right.
they do or whatever.
Yeah.
But everybody that I know that does stand-up seems like a decent enough person.
Right. Because like
you know?
We're all just. I also think like it's one of the analogies that I always make about. Comedians is like we're sort of like infants in suits, like we're trying to be like this presentable thing, and it's like no, we're just childish, like all of us
on a certain level.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean I you know it's
yeah
I don't know, but I never want to, I never want people to, like, not know where I stand. That's not the right, no, I want people to know where I stand. But where I stand is not something that's easily,
yeah, that makes sense.
Defined.
You know, yeah, it totally makes
sense. And it's also, dude, I'm also not somebody that always thinks that necessarily the most offensive thing is the most funny thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I've gone through various iterations of, like, that joke in particular.
Right.
Like, changing
words. Yeah, I know that you've, stuff. I know that you've gone through that. Like, the one thing that I just, the only line that I never want you to change ever from that is the super sodomizer man.
Right.
Part. That is just like,
well, that's like the best punchline. But then there's like the tag that I do after it.
Yeah.
I've changed that
quite a few times. You've changed that quite a few times, yeah.
Because it's like, like, responsible butt fucking is harsh. I think it's pretty funny.
Yeah, it's funny.
But like, responsible ass play is the same thing, but it's like a little more digestible for
right.
certain people.
And that's sort of just what you need for different audiences.
Right.
You know, you just go up and you see like just who's in the audience. And you're like, okay, this is gonna work here. Like, that's what I had to learn. It's like sometimes it just doesn't fit with the people that you're doing it in front of.
Yeah, and like, I try not to change too much shit up on the fly, but like I might. There's also like I fuck around a lot with changing the order of jokes and how right. I present them.
Yeah,
because I think like, and that's easier when you're doing like longer sets.
Right.
Because you have more of a time to, like, like, somebody gave me advice one time, and it was, like, I'm trying to think of, like, exactly how they worded it. But it was, like, you can't open with the cracking people over the head with shit.
Oh, yeah.
You got to get them to, like, trust you before you can go into the deep water.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit, you know?
Yeah.
But I'll do the opposite of that, because I'll just, like, I have... And it's weird how shit works sometimes. It doesn't. Like,
right.
I have another joke that I was opening with for a long time that just immediately pissed people off.
Right.
And the fun for me was to try to, like, get them back on my side.
Right. Also,
after pissed, like...
Yeah. You know. Also, I think what's interesting to me is the mood that you're kind of in on stage always has some sort of effect on it. For me, at least. I've always been envious of people who can, like... have, like, a shit day in their life and just go on stage and be, like, the same as they are. I'm not like that. Like, if I'm upset during the day, I'm going to have an angry set. If I'm happy, I'm going to have a happy set. And yeah. It's, like, there's no, like, professionalism with it. I'm like, no, I'm going to be in the mood that I'm going to be in.
Yeah, I think that I, to an extent, I don't want to say I play a character.
No.
But I kind of do. I'm like an exaggerated version of myself.
Right. I think everyone
so
is.
I always try to get into that mood. And that mood for me is like a little cranky.
A little cranky, yeah.
A little cranky, you know, but like willing to like be ridiculous about being
cranky. Ridiculous, yeah.
Like not like, I don't think I like, I don't know how to describe it. Like, I think of the comics that like kind of influence me and like, I try... You know what I always wonder? And I wonder if you have a thought about this.
Oh, sure.
So I'll see other comics, and I'll be like, oh, they really like so-and-so. Like, I can tell by watching them.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
And
yeah.
I wonder who people think that I really like by watching me.
Oh.
Like, I wonder who, like, because we're all kind of mimicking our favorites to
yeah.
some extent. So I wonder, like, what people pick up on,
I mean,
like, who they, like.
Would you be offended if, like, people said, like, Colin Quinn?
No.
That's like someone that
me.
I would think of,
okay.
Or like a lot of what I think of, because like you told me early on that you were Tosh guy, I'm a Tosh guy. Like I see that a lot, because I just like
I love Tosh.
I love,
like,
Tosh,
I love
too.
Those first couple specials are
like,
my favorite.
Oh yeah, I hear it. Yeah. I love it, and I just love his, especially early on, his ability to like. He even talks about it, how like, oh, people at the end of this joke, only 5 people are gonna know what I'm talking about. It's
right.
Like I love that too, and that's. Really influenced a lot of the, like, weirder stuff that I do, because I'm...
It's funny that you say that, because I've only had this conversation with, like, one other person.
Right.
And they told me Segura, and I was kind of, like, offended
I think with Segura...
But, like...
The thing with that is, that's, like, a look thing. That's not a...
Like, a
not
attitude
a con-
thing?
Not an attitude thing. It's, like, a
well, no,
physical...
I love
him, but...
I love Segura's first couple
specials. Oh, yeah.
And I guess, I don't know, because I kind of do story, like, a little bit. I kind of, like, tell stories a little bit.
What sort of soured him on me is, like, you know, it's funny how there's comedians get, like, popular, and then they get their podcasts and their shows, and then they show their true personality, and then you're like, oh, I don't like this person. And that's what happened with him to me. I'm like, oh, I saw his, like, real-life personality, and I was like, I don't like this shit at all.
I don't even know if that's necessarily, like, a thing with him. I think that there is a level of overexposure for comedians.
Right.
Like, it's weird. Like,
no, like, you see that all the time with people. Like, you see that with Matt Rife now. It's like, people are just too much at once. It's like, you know.
Too much into, like, who somebody is, though.
Also. Yeah. Exactly.
And then it's because you can't take a perception away from somebody if you hear about or know somebody. You can't watch their stuff objectively.
Of course, yeah.
So it's kind of like a, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it's a tough thing with, because, you know, I feel like we all have our, like, we, you know, you have your onstage persona and then everyone sort of knows your offstage sort of vibe. So that always has to sort of match with people, I guess, for them to sort of get what you're going for.
I don't know. I mean, I think I think there's a danger in just too much of somebody. Like, think about, like, Segura, right?
Yeah.
How many hours of him talking? Like, I can't imagine, like, right. And honestly, like, I can't even blame it on him. Like, if I listen to anybody that much, eventually I'm gonna, like, not really want to,
yeah, not, you know, really, what I mean, like, yeah, because everyone,
and I do that story with comics or podcasts that I like. I try to, like, chill so that I don't burn myself out on it.
Yeah, I mean,
it'll happen, dude.
Yeah, to me, I always feel like I listen to a lot of, you know, more nerdier stuff, I guess, comedy nerdier stuff. Like, I like Mike Birbiglia's podcast, and, like,
I haven't listened to that, but I like Mike Birbiglia,
but he gets into, like, more of a joke nerd type of thing than a lot of these, like, other podcasts, I guess, like the Bad Friends one and stuff, where they're kind of more trying to be, like,
funny,
you know, funny and, like, interactive. It's like, no, this is, like, our work, and this is, like, you know, they kind of take a fun aspect of it, and it's, like, it's cool. But to me, I'm always, like, I always get mad because I always think people are digesting the wrong media. I'm like, if you hate this so much, don't listen to it. Like,
I gotta be honest, dude, I don't even know if wrong is the right thing. I think it's just too much.
Right.
I think in general, it's just too much. Like, I see these dudes that I work with, like,
right,
we'll be at work and it'll be slow and they'll put the news on just to get mad.
Just to get mad, yeah.
It's like, what do you, like, it was fine. Like, the world was no different when you just watched the news at 6:30 or whatever.
Right.
Or when you read the newspaper.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, access, I think that's a great fucking trick, is the idea that, like, access to information has made us more powerful.
Yeah.
If in anything, I think it's kind of limited our ability.
No, it always affects you. Like, I am totally honest in that, like, I became, like, really a more political person in my 20s just from listening to George Carlin. Like, he's the blame for, like, every, like, kind of view that I have. And it's like, when I see people, I'm like, I'm always get, like, this is where I get, like, very grateful. I'm like, I'm so glad when I was 16, I didn't start listening to, like, Alex Jones or something. Or, like, Ben Shapiro. I would have been, like, because I know that would have, like, affected me somehow. Like, you're like, you can't, like, think that's not a thing that's going to happen, that people are going to get affected by what they watch and influenced. For sure.
Yeah.
It's like,
I have a funny Carlin story. When I was a kid, me and my dad watched a Carlin special. I was, like, fourth grade.
Probably. Yeah.
And I forget which one it was, because remember he kept putting out those specials. Yeah. They were, like, all kind of the same. Yeah. Like, he had the same clothes on.
All the same. Yeah.
The only bit I remember was, he was talking about a guy that had a shirt that was, like, lead, follower, get out of the way, and he called him a cunt. And then I was, like, this shy kid, and I was trying to talk to this girl on, like, AOL, and she was basically like, you're ugly, and I just sent her an email that said cunt, like, 6,000 times. Like, I just was like, cunt, 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 cunt. And then she showed her parents, and her parents fucking reached out to my parents, which was brutal, dude. So embarrassing. If you're out there, I'm sorry. I'm not going to say your name because I'm going to bring it up.
I love that story.
I haven't seen you in forever. I'm sorry that I did that. I was fucking 10. And then I remember my dad being like, man, I really thought you were mature enough to handle this. I'm like, dude, I'm fucking 10.
I'm fucking 10.
Like, I see him up there and he's going, cunt. And people are like, ah. And I'm like, cunt is the way to do it.
It's the way to do
it. Cunt is the answer to all my problems. I'm just going to call people cunts. And it's like, it's fucking, you know, brutal. But yeah, I mean, I was formed by that to an extent. And then I was like formed by The Daily Show.
Oh, yeah.
Daily Show was big.
Daily Show.
And then at some point, like, later in my life, I did get, like, I never was, like, a Jones, Alex Jones guy.
Yeah.
I have to say this, though. I think Alex Jones, I think he's pretty objectively a terrible person.
Right.
I think that he fucking deserves all of the wrath that's coming to him. I've seen him on Rogan, but more importantly, I saw him one time on Schultz's podcast, and I used to really like, Schultz has soured on me.
Oh,
and it's not
that
he's doing anything different, it's just that I consume too much Schultz.
Oh,
I
used
to love Schultz, and now it's just like, I can't
watch
too much of him.
Oh, yeah, it's the same for me. Like, I know I haven't watched him, and I was like, you know, my thing with him that I always get annoyed at.
But before I forget that, but there was a podcast episode with Alex Jones on Schultz. And it was the funniest fucking...
It was the funniest thing.
2 hours I've ever listened to in my entire life.
He is funny, and that's a hard thing. Like, that's another guy. Like, Schultz a lot of people talk about. And he's, like, someone who just annoys me because he comes off edgy for the sake of edgy. And, like, he's sort of... Like, in my opinion, is like, a poor imitation of everyone that I like. So I'm like, I already seen Daniel Tosh. I hate people... The one thing that I hate in comedy is when people, like, do like you said. They try to come off as, like, offensive. Is, like, cool. Like, when Dave Chappelle had that, like, special, and he had the fucking trailer for it. It was him running through the desert with a cannon or whatever. And it's like, dude, just saying funny stuff. You don't need to act like this rogue warrior or whatever.
Schultz 444, I think it was called.
Yeah.
It's like a YouTube special that he put out. That came out, like, right around when I started, and I fucking love that dude. And he's got some great bits in that.
I think he does. Like, I've seen some of his earlier stuff, and I think it's good.
His shit about the pyramids, and, like, he's, like, he has this whole thing where he talks about, I'm going to butcher it, whatever, but he talks about, you know, how they say that the Jews built the pyramids. He's like, I don't know, maybe you guys got the contract. He's like, I don't think you were putting the stone. Right. And then he says, like, he's like, you know who else has pyramids? Mexico. Nobody asks who built those. Like, that's such a funny
thing. That's such a funny thing, yeah.
He's like, yeah, they say the aliens built the pyramids. The illegal aliens built the pyramids. Like, the whole thing is fucking very
funny. That's really good. Have you watched, like, do you consume a lot of, like, comedy specials and stuff? Or do you kind of, like, not want to watch comedy after doing it so much?
I watch it less than I used to, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
That being said... And this might be just something that I have. I don't like the specials on Netflix. There's like something about the way they're edited or something that fucks with me.
Oh, that makes sense.
I swear to God. I think the clearest example for me was I saw Theo Vaughn a couple of summers ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was the funniest fucking hour of stand-up or whatever, how much he did, that I've ever seen in my entire life.
Right.
It was so funny that I didn't remember any of the bits. Like, because a lot of times when I watch stand-up now, I'm, like, kind of, like, trying to see
where they're going and shit.
He was so fucking good. My face hurt. It was fucking hilarious. And then all that same material was on Netflix, and it just, like, doesn't work on Netflix for me.
Oh, yeah. You know,
like, it was just crazy. Like, it just, like, the editing, the timing, like, something about it, like...
It's wild how live... I think live anything is better than
obviously
what
that's
it is.
Better. Yeah. Obviously,
because I watched Leslie Jones' special and like it didn't do anything for me, and I was like, I know that if I was in that audience during the taping, I would have laughed like everyone else was laughing.
100%
It's like
100%
it's
live.
Like,
is,
seeing that
is,
live would have been probably
absolutely.
So much better.
Absolutely, but I like the specials like the way that. You know what it is, dude? It's weird. The Netflix specials, the laughter sounds canned to me. It's too, like, compressed and produced.
Right. I think the
one... And maybe it's because the venues are bigger.
Right, exactly.
I don't know. I love Gillis's first special.
Mm-hmm.
I like his second special a lot, too. I wish the second special was, like, in the same place he shot the first
one. Right, yeah.
Maybe that's just the way I like to consume it better.
Right. Like, to me, I always liked... you know, it's so weird how specials have sort of changed in the time that I've watched comedy. Because when I started watching them, it was like the ultimate thing that the person did. Like, when I watched Bill Burr's, still to this day, I think his first special, Why Do I Do This, is the fucking funniest one he's ever done. And there's so many iconic, like, bits in it and stuff. And I love, like, I go on, like, a huge thing is, like, watching reaction deals to it. And he does a lot of interracial jokes in that. And just watching, like, black fans, like, watching
black guys react to white guys it.
And they're like, they're like,
black guys reacting to white guy stuff is a giant genre, dude. I like watching them freak out about Led Zeppelin and shit. Like, oh my God. Yeah. It's a big genre.
They'll just be reacting to, like, the bits that Bill Burr does on that special.
You watch those two dudes, Frankenstein's Lab, they just get super baked.
They just get super baked and laugh at everything.
Burr is a fucking savage.
Yeah.
I think, too, and I wonder about this, because a lot of people used to say this, like, about music. There'd be, like, a sophomore album slump.
Yeah.
Like, if you think about it, like, a comedian's first special, they have however long it took them to get that.
Right,
that
exactly. Material. Exactly.
Yeah. And then now, they seem to, like, it seems to be, like, 2 years is the thing.
Yeah.
Like, there's a new special every 2 years. And I remember hearing somebody talk about how, like, Louis fucked that up.
I think...
because Louis just put out
Savage
special after Savage special.
Savage special after Savage special. And, like, for him, for me, that was a huge thing of...
he's, like, a singular talent.
He was a big influence on me doing comedy just from... just every way that he tackled it before everything happened with him. But it was just like, that was a big part of it to me, was seeing that. Also, seeing the evolution of people has always been really cool to me in any shade of, you know, any degree of comedy, is I love seeing people, like, just change and, like, how they've sort of evolved. Like, when I look at someone like Kyle Colorado, I started out with him, you know, and, like, how much he's changed and gotten better. It's just, like, phenomenal to watch. It's like...
Kyle Colorado, shout out, most improved.
Yeah, this is like, yeah.
Most improved. Like,
it's really good. And, like, the people that you're always surrounding yourself with, I always feel like you put yourself in a pretty good group of people that's always like, oh, yeah, these people are super funny. Like McCracken is super hilarious.
I wish he did stand-up.
He doesn't do it anymore?
He doesn't do stand-up anymore.
Oh, that's a shame.
He's the funniest person I know.
Yeah, he was very funny.
Yeah.
I just think with him... the thing that's also very tough with stand-up is, like, not everyone gets to see what you see. That's the toughest thing about different opinions. It's like, people get to...
yeah.
Like, you love this one way someone does something.
Right.
And then, you know, I've just seen it. I've seen people, you know, they're great. And the amount of times I've seen people that are great quit doing comedy, it always makes me feel so bad because I'm like, they had it. They were doing something. And it just, like... it's hard, though. It's hard to take that.
I guess he's just not interested in doing it. I don't know. Right. I mean, we still do the podcast.
Right. Yeah, how's that going?
It's fun. I mean, it's harder for us to get together to film it now, because he lives in New York.
I really should have wrote down the name of...
very fun.
I really should have wrote down the name of it. I'll have to send it to you. So there's this really funny guy on TikTok. He does, like... he plays Grand Theft Auto, and he does, like, edits with it, where he makes, like, all the characters gay, and do, like, gay shit, and then he'll, like, play with other players.
Sounds like McCracken.
And they'll play with other players, and he'll do stuff, and they'll take them off, and they'll, you know, act all homophobic to him.
Yeah.
Because they're playing the game, they think they're gangsters, he'll, like, make it so that the characters kiss each other, and he'll be like...
It
freaks them out.
I love doing the podcast with McCracken because he plays a hyper ridiculous version of it.
Oh, really?
And I just shit on him. That's the entire podcast.
That's exactly it. Yeah.
And it's fun. Like, he'll just say, I'll be like, are you fucking retarded? Like,
yeah. He just pulls things out and you'll just be like, yeah, you come at it from a different.
It's just always, I'm just always like, what are you talking about? So I was like, come on.
Yeah.
You know?
And the sound thing that you guys use is always so funny. The soundboard. It's so good.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Everything you get out of that is, like, great. So you do the, what is it called? Tag team?
Yeah.
With Franco Danger?
Yeah.
How's that been? I haven't been to it. I gotta
come
to it.
We're gonna start
it
up again in January. So, I mean, the shows are always super fun. it's we just have to figure out how to get an audience there.
Right.
The shows are always fun. It's such a fun format. Something ridiculous happens every time.
Yeah.
It's just you get to have people on stage together, which is like rare.
Right.
It's basically like I forget what the fucking name it was. So that kind of came about because, like, do you remember, like, this was probably 2019. It was 2019, mm-hmm. so I guess it was, like, 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Almost five at this point because it yeah. was, like, in the summer.
Yeah.
Do you remember Don Harris did the Garden State Comedy or whatever it was called, his comedy festival that he did?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they had Jester. Remember, like, Angelique and Franco had Jester?
Yeah, yeah.
Spot Jester. And we did a thing there. That's like, it's an improv game. It's like a chain right. improv game. There's a name for it. And I don't remember what it is. He knows what it's called.
Yeah.
And we did that. And I remember telling him, I was like, this is the most fun I've ever had being right. on stage. I was like, we should do this as a show.
Yeah.
And then we did the first one in Asbury, which I'm so mad that we didn't get audio and video of it.
Because right.
it was fucking magic.
No, it's wild how, like, I did improv for a really long time. And it's like crazy how different it can be. It can be like the absolute most greatest thing to be a part of.
Right.
And then it can be like, oh, this is lame. This is like,
I don't know what it
capital
is. Capital L. I don't know what it is about improv, like as like a, like obviously like improv as a training tool to make funny sketches.
Right.
I've been to a few improv shows, mainly because people I knew were, like...
Yeah.
They were, like, graduating their thing
yeah.
or whatever.
Yeah,
I had a friend that did comedy sports. I don't know if you
right, remember. Yeah, yeah, I know.
Which is, like, that's a cool, like, family-friendly
thing. The people I started with do that shit, whatever. And it's, like...
Like, it's a cool family-friendly thing to do or whatever. The thing about, improv shows for me that that are rough is it's, like, a play that's not even put together.
Right, exactly.
And I don't fucking like plays.
No.
So it's hard for me to like improv.
Right.
I can't... And I'm actually kind of jealous. Like, I can't... Like, anytime I've been to, like, a Broadway show or any of that kind of shit, I cannot, like... I can't forget that I'm...
You can't get lost in it.
I can't get lost in it. I can't.
Yeah.
And that sucks for me.
No, that
I'm
makes
sure
sense.
That they're fucking
yeah.
awesome if you're into them.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, this is fucking stupid. Like,
right.
Well, we're supposed to think that you're like in this, wherever this is set up.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, like somebody just rolled out a thing and now you're in a library. Like, get the fuck out
right.
of here. That's always been my, and I've always,
right.
and improv is like that, but worse because you're making me even try to imagine
yeah,
even more.
Yeah, because you got
to
imagine even more.
You're bringing it more to the forefront to me that there's actually nothing yeah. happening here.
The only thing, the one thing that really improv did well for me of doing it for so long is that it made me comfortable failing on stage. That's the one thing that I was happy about.
I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's like I took a class, like a couple improv classes.
Yeah.
Because I thought it would be like a good way to help me get comfortable, like not knowing what was going to happen
yeah.
on stage. I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's a different skill set.
Yeah.
It's a different attitude.
That was one of the things that really surprised me about Andy Milonakis, finding out about him, like, the year before he had his show that came out, he was doing, like, stuff with the Groundlings. And it's like, oh, wow. Like, he really, like, you wouldn't picture that, him doing that shit. But it's like...
Well, it's also, yeah. too, it's also kind of funny because now that I'm looking back on it, is that, like, improv, I guess, leads to funny movies.
Yeah.
Which leads to funnier moments than almost ever happens on stage.
Right.
Like, a funny part of a movie is, like, the funniest fucking
thing. Oh, yeah, for sure. But...
And that's all kinds of, like, physical
right.
fucking shit going on, you know?
I guess that's an interesting question. Like, I never really think about this at all. It's never really been a thing for me. But do you ever, like, want to get into anything like acting or anything? Or
I think I would like acting, but I don't even know where to go
right.
to do that.
I think
have
you'd
fun,
be good
I
at
have
that
fun
stuff.
Every time I do sketches.
I think you'd be good at that stuff.
I like cause... doing sketches. I like writing. I've written a couple of screenplays.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
I like doing that shit. I would love to do, like, comedic acting. I think... any kind of acting, but I don't know... It's funny, though, right? Because I hate plays. So what am I going to
right,
do?
Right, exactly.
Like, go act in a play?
Right.
Like, yeah,
the one guy who surprised me that he used to do plays is Farley. Dan Farley.
No, that is pretty
yeah,
surprising.
Yeah, he
kind of
was making, like, really good money from it. And then he started doing stand-up, yeah.
No way.
He was, that's what he started out, like, doing, like, these, like, sophisticated
plays. He was a professional actor?
Like, theater.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, theater-wise. Yeah, like, doing that. And then he started doing mics, and his dad was like, why are you doing these free shows?
Wow.
Why are you doing this stuff that doesn't make money? Like,
that's pretty funny.
And he's like, no, I like this better.
That's very funny, because he seems so opposite of that.
Right?
That's cool.
Yeah, that's really cool. Like...
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the path is for that. I don't know what the path is for stand-up.
No, like, the same thing.
Open mics, no, it's like... booked on bar shows.
You can like, book... Yeah. Like, to me, I always think... That's the cool thing, like, being around people like you. Like, when the pandemic happened, like, you were the person that I went to when I was doing comedy that was like, I want to make Sean laugh. That's the only person I want to make laugh.
Oh, thanks, man.
I was like... Because, you know, it's so hard when you're doing comedy in front of other comics and you're just like... What am I doing this? Like, how is this gonna get any better? And I'm like, when I know that you laugh at something, I'm like, okay, I can keep that. That is working. You're like the high echelon of like the guy that I look to.
Oh,
I'm like,
thanks,
that is like, I don't mean to over compliment you, but you're like,
I appreciate that. That's been
one
a
of
cool,
the best in my.
That's been a cool thing about the poetry renaissance thing, actually.
Yeah.
The poets are pretty good audience members.
Right? Yeah.
More like a regular audience.
Yeah.
And they're supportive, but not, like, fraudulently supportive.
No. And they have their own pace. And also, like, a lot of them are funny. A few of them are funny. So it's, like, they sort of understand, like, the complexity of a way. Of, like, one person.
Well,
I love
changed,
Damien that
changed,
way because he's funny.
To some extent, they changed my whole opinion because I was always like, doing poetry? Like,
right.
What are you talking about?
I think because it's, like, you know, they're totally against, like, being stuffy and stuff and, like... They just have their own punk rock way of looking at things. But to me, I'm always like, I always try to, I think it happens with everyone. You're just trying to impress certain people, and you're just like, okay. Like, I just always, like, that's one thing that's, like, always just cool about seeing you everywhere is just, like, how, like, recognized you are. It's like, Sean is recognized as great, and, like, when I see you, I'm like, The coolest thing to me is that we get along so well.
Yeah, I love it. I always get happy when I see you.
That, like, that is really super cool to me.
You're the fucking man, dude.
No, I mean, thank
you.
You
are, though.
But it's, like, it's just cool to, like, see that, like, you know.
It is a nice community.
To have that, like, community.
It's a very cool social.
That was the one thing that was super cool about that Friday was just, like, talking to everybody, like, just walking around and talking to everybody, I was like, oh, yeah, there's so many people. Like, I see Russ, and he's, like, fucking great, and I'm just like...
And Headless thing you're talking about?
Yeah,
yeah. That was cool.
Yeah, that was just, like, so cool.
It's
was
a
just
cool
like,
community.
It was just,
yeah.
like, seeing all those people. Because I'm, like... It's also gotten a whole lot easier. Like, when I started, I was younger than everyone. So it's, like, such a weird thing now that, like, that doesn't even, like, come up. Like,
yeah, it doesn't matter.
Like, it's so weird how that changed. And now I see, like, people younger than me. Do it.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember being in that situation.
Yeah,
where you're,
matter.
like 22. It's like,
I wish I started when I was 22.
No, it's crazy. You know, the one thing that I think is...
Well, you know what, though? I had to fucking live a life
you
to
lived
have the perspective
something.
That I have to
yeah.
be able to do this kind of stuff, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And you had that... You also had that great bit about bombing that was... That was, like,
oh,
perfect.
Oh, like, watching your dad die.
Watching your dad die.
I only pull that out if I feel like I'm bombing. Like,
yeah.
Because it's weird, because if you say that, like, you can poison kind
oh,
of
yeah,
audience
you can poison
a little bit.
Oh, yeah, poison audience, yeah.
But, like, I think that joke is, like, fucking awesome for comics. I don't necessarily know if it would be good for people that don't do comedy.
Yeah.
But I guess that's how I try to explain it. I don't know. I love that fucking
and
joke.
I know that you've...
I like it because I like...
Yeah.
And actually, thanks for bringing that up, because I would like to write more jokes like that that just get progressively more ridiculous.
Right. Well, like, the one thing that I like about you that is always kind of, like, makes me feel better about my stuff is you make references work. Like, I do a lot of references in my act now, and I get, like, kind of, like, self-conscious. I'm like, oh, is this too referential? Is this too much, like... if they don't listen to pop-punk music, they're not going to get this shit at all. And then it's like, you do your... Sean Diddy stuff, like, Ron Combs stuff, and it's like, yeah, that, you can make it work, man.
But that's the thing, is everybody knows who he is. Even if
right.
he's so famous that even
yeah.
if you're not into any of that stuff,
yeah.
you've heard that name before.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like, like, you know, like, they're like, there's other rappers that I could reference and do similar kind of stuff about, or like, but he's like a personality,
right?
Like, he's transcended the people that are fans or whatever of him,
right?
You know what I mean? Like, I think that he's kind of like, he's close to a household name on some mm-hmm. level.
Yeah.
But I mean, that was also like, he fucking, that shit, like, and it's fun too, because like, so much of that stuff, like, so, spoiler.
Yeah.
I didn't actually meet Diddy in the elevator.
Oh, really?
No, I didn't. But I was at that hotel, and I didn't go to that hotel for the reason that I had. Basically, long story short, my dad had a friend who did very well in housing before 2008. Right. He's since been ruined, but he did very well in housing, and he had his wife's birthday party. He rented out a floor of the Trump Tower. And we all went.
Mm-hmm.
His daughter met P. Diddy.
Oh.
And I saw P. Diddy leaving the thing. So I made up this whole story in the elevator to fit the narrative.
Right. No.
The rest of the shit that I'm talking about.
It fits, though.
Right. Exactly. So it's like, you can just make shit up.
No, you can make shit up.
You
can
make shit up. And like, people are like, did that really happen? I'm like, yeah, no, it happened. Because because the reality of the matter is that it fucking did to me, whether it actually did.
Right. Exactly. That's the same way that I am. Like, a lot of my stuff is, you know, it's funny. It'll be the stuff that people think I make up is, like, real, and then stuff that I do make up that's fake people think is real, and it's like, no, that's not true at all. It's like, no.
You're like, nothing of it, like, nothing, everything, anytime that I set something up as if it actually happened to me, it's always, like, what I wish I did.
What you wish you did.
It's always, like, a funnier version of what actually happened, or it'll be, like, I have a story that I've been closing with when I get a longer set.
Mm-hmm.
All of the stuff in that story happened, but not in the same
not
way
the same
that
order.
It happened.
Yeah.
Like, all that happened in, like, different parts and pieces.
Right.
But it's just funny to bring all of that together like that.
Oh, for sure. I mean,
just telling ridiculous shit.
Yeah.
Just being ridiculous. Ridiculous is funny, is what I find.
It's just, you know? It's just great, like, to really do that. I'm just gonna... It can kind of be...
I guess better.
Yeah. The only reason I use this is because it uploads straight to Apple and Spotify. That's the only reason I use it.
Well, then there's got to be a way, like, USB-C to some microphones or something.
Right. It's like, I don't want to lose the, like, the thing that I have now of, like, how it goes so quickly.
Yeah.
But it's like, if I could use another, like, recording equipment, I totally would do that.
There's definitely a way that you could do that. You could get, like, microphones that go to Bluetooth or something.
Right, yeah.
You know?
It's just, like, messing up with the setup. I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do. But it's...
You can figure that out.
Yeah.
I believe in you.
I can figure it out.
I believe
in you.
I got faith in you.
Yeah.
It's that you could do that.
Yeah. You're kind of in the... Like, this is the cool thing about the podcast is, like, anytime I get, like, a new setup or anything, I have guests on that have been on before, partly because comedy also changes, so people, you know, they're somewhere different in their... time of doing comedy, and also it's like a better situation.
Right. It's like a little upgrade.
It's like a little upgrade.
So,
like,
next time I do this in like 2 years, we're gonna be like in a podcast.
We're gonna be like an actual podcast studio. Yeah. So that'll be the fun part of it. Is like, you know, and that's been the coolest thing to me is, you know, I love interviewing, you know, people from, you know, our scene, and I've been very lucky to have a couple people that are like, do you know who Gianmarco Cerezzi is?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had him on the podcast, and that was mind-blowing. Yeah, I was like, cool. I saw him on Facebook, like, we were, like, Facebook friends, and then when he was doing my podcast, he was doing a movie with Billy Crystal, and then the week after my podcast came out, he was on, his Comedy Central Half Hour came out, and then he was on James Corden, and I was like, yeah, I knew this was gonna be, this guy was gonna be huge.
It's kind of crazy how accessible...
Everyone is.
Comics are.
Yeah.
Like, it's
and like,
pretty cool, actually.
And, like, I don't go through management. Like, anyone big that I've sort of had on, I had this other guy, Keith Reza. He was huge. He's a fellow autistic comedian who was very close with Norm MacDonald.
Okay.
Like, super, super close friends with him.
Right.
Like, sort of his protege a little bit. Like, really, like, cool.
Yeah.
And, like, I just reached out to him. Like, I don't go through management or anything.
Yeah,
just, like,
that's cool.
They see you as, like, a fellow comic. They're just like... Yeah, I'll do this.
That's pretty cool.
It's like, you know, and I think that's better. It's like, you know, they just see you as like what you are to them. It's like
a peer on some level.
It's like a peer on some level. That was the coolest thing with like Gianmarco was like, oh yeah. Like he sort of, because also a lot of established comedians, they also a lot of them, I figured out, they don't view themselves ever as established. They always think they're at the same level that we think we are at now. It's, like, interesting. You think that they would think they're so far ahead, but a lot of them have the same mindset that we have.
Right. And it's there's always somewhere you can, you know what I mean? There's always, like, hierarchy,
yeah.
Which is cool.
Have you performed in any other different... Well, you did perform in different states. You performed in Portland, right, when you were doing your...
I performed a lot in Oregon, all over the place. Not that much in Portland, to be honest.
Oh, it's just Oregon.
In Portland, I performed in a lot of states as I was traveling.
Because when you were doing when you did your album, that came from working at one club, right? You were just...
That was...
You sort of did the thing. You worked at the club for a period of time, and they had you do it.
Yeah,
That's really cool.
And that place now has changed hands, so I know the people that own it now, it's different than it used to be. But, I mean, that was, like, a tremendous place for me to be at that point. It was very cool. It's still cool now. Shout out to the Infinity. It's the Infinity Room now.
Oh.
Emma, awesome. It's, like, who I was doing stuff with back then when it was the previous owners. That was a really cool moment for me at that point in time to be there, because that scene was, like... They just had really good audiences. Like, there was, like, a supportive local audience that would come out to this place all the time. For, like, open mics.
Right.
Like, you go to an open mic and there'd be, like, 30 people sitting drinking, cool. Watching and shit. And then they would just have, like, showcases on the weekend.
Yeah.
And then when I was leaving, they let me, like, do that as my, like, going away thing or whatever, which was cool.
And the really cool thing with it is it's, like, I listen to – that's the main way that I listen to comedy a lot – is I listen to comedy through Spotify and listening to different comedians, and, like, I listen to a whole bunch of albums. And it's so cool just to see, to hear that. Like, when it sounded really good. That's the one thing were you happy with that? With, like, how the, like, they made it sound?
The quality was great.
Sound quality was just...
That was Chris at the club. He was a sound guy. Now he's a part owner, Chris Pelka. Talented dude.
Right.
I mean, he got that sounding great.
Because, like, I can imagine that's a big, you know, that's kind of a stressful, that could kind of be a stressful thing to think about. It's like, oh, is this going to sound?
Well, it's crazy, like, because I think about it with, like, clips. So, like, I bought this camera to fucking shoot tag team with.
Right.
And I cheaped out. I should have just bought a better camera. And every time I don't know if I got to get a better lens or whatever the fuck.
Right.
I'm like, this doesn't look that good because all this shit is so high quality now.
Right.
It's like any reason to skip or not listen to it, you know? Like, it's like. It's kind of funny, but I was happy with the way that came out. I also had video footage of that.
Oh, you do?
Which did not come out
quite the way that I would have liked. Oh.
I mean, I could probably, like, whatever.
Right.
But, like...
I think the material on that is, you know, strong enough for anything. It's, you know, it's cool to, like...
Some of that shit I would never do again,
mm-hmm.
but some of it I absolutely would still use and, like, build into something else.
Oh, yeah.
Like...
You know, I mean... The one thing that's fascinating to me about that is I love talking to people about it because for the past, you know, 4 years or so, I've been writing my own, you know, 1 hour special, and it's just a crazy thing of, like, how you get that done is, like,
crazy. Mine was
crazy.
Only a half hour.
Oh, really? Yeah, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was a half hour.
But still, it's like a...
Yeah.
It's like a good... It was a good length of, you know,
dude,
stuff.
A half hour is pretty good.
It is,
like,
yeah.
Honestly, like, I because you even think about it, right? Like, people put out specials and they're an hour. Like, normally, if you see a comic at a club, it's 45 minutes.
Yeah. Like, that's
like,
what
it's
I was thinking of. Like, it could be like 45
minutes
is kind
of good.
Fine.
Like, I don't know. Like, an hour is tough.
Yeah. It's
like. It's hard to be that entertaining for that long. Honestly, dude, and it's funny, if I see a special on Netflix or something and it's longer than an hour.
Oh, yeah.
And unless it's like an hour and 2 minutes and I'm like, oh, there's credits or
right,
whatever.
Yeah.
If it's like an hour 15, I'm like, I'm not fucking watching
no,
this.
No, right, yeah.
It's kind of funny.
No, and it's like, to me, it's just, I love talking to different people about, you know, their stuff that they release because it's just, you know, it's something that, like, working on is such an interesting thing because I don't know if you had this, they're like, I mean, I guess you sort of had the narrative wrapped around it that you were, you know, you lived in a van for a period of time during that. You know, it's called Van Comic Off.
Yeah.
And,
well, I only called it that because the host called me that.
So
how do you name this fucking special? I was like, all right. And then it was like, that kind of was my identity at the time.
Right.
I don't know if I had a little bit of material about being in a van.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I had some shit about
it. Yeah.
I mean, I had, like... there was some shit that I was doing, like, even, like, I thought they were good jokes, but, like, I don't know, dude. Like, I wouldn't have 9/11. I don't know if I'd have 9/11 jokes anymore.
Right.
Like, even though I thought I did them well, it's like, now I kind of understand
now
like, how well treaded that.
You was. Got the one thing that I think I've seen you still do occasionally is the, I guess it's that the like how far they remember it, like on the cars and stuff.
Yeah.
Of like,
how well that's my favorite part of that.
That's
joke.
Like that joke is. Right.
Because that was me driving. I was driving through the middle of the country.
Yeah.
And there was, like, fucking never forget shit everywhere. I'm like, dude, you're in fucking North Dakota. Like, they don't have, like, these banners, like, per capita. It seemed right. Like people were so much more interested in that.
Right.
And that was always interesting to me is, like, the, I don't know. I got really lucky before I started doing comedy. I had a job where I worked for this company and I would get sent to all these places. Mm-hmm. And I got sent, I worked for a company that like hired contractors to manage houses that had been foreclosed upon.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to like all over the country, but to like really fucked up rural and urban areas and right. shit. And I like, dude, like I knew that Trump was going to win in
right,
2016 because I had been,
you've been everywhere.
Out and around. And I was like, dude, this country is so much different than where we live.
Right, exactly.
It's so much different than where we live. And, like, I think it's good to get outside of this.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Bubble. Because it is a fucking bubble. Dude, people want to shit on New Jersey or whatever.
Right.
It really doesn't get much better than this. I know it's expensive or whatever, but, like, the jobs pay more. Like, it's pretty fucking good.
Dude. Right, yeah.
Like, there's few places that you could go that I think are better than this.
Mm-hmm.
In all reality.
Right.
And, like, I've been to a lot of those places, and I'd be in, like, fucking the... Dude, I remember going to, like, an abandoned farmhouse in the middle of fucking South Dakota, and I had to drive through, like, a reservation on my way to get there, and it was, like, on the edge of the reservation, and, like, people told me, like, don't be in the reservation.
Oh.
Like, it's not a good place right. for you to be. So I was, like, worried about that, and then, like, this place was, like, a shithole filled with broken down cars, and there was like never forget shit everywhere.
Right.
But then I think about like where does that come from? It's like, well, the other side to like the joke that I make with that is like people from those communities are disproportionately represented in the military.
Oh yeah.
So like those small towns, they all know somebody that died in fucking Afghanistan or Iraq.
Right, exactly.
Because of 9/11. So of course they don't, you know what I mean? Like it's
right.
like a fucking weird thing.
Yeah.
I try to be, like, empathetic
right.
to people.
I think what's good about you and, like, I don't know if this is how it comes, but just, like, you as a personality, it feels like you're good at understanding people.
I try
like,
to be.
And also, like, having that, because to me, I'm so uncomfortable around people. It's, like, to be able to go to different places and do that and, like, observe from, like, that perspective is a really, like, interesting thing to be able to
well,
do.
Well, dude, I'm super uncomfortable around people, too. I just mask it well.
Yeah.
Like, I just, like, I always think about, like, I was thinking about this before for some reason, but, like, you were like, oh, if you're having a bad day,
yeah,
how do you get on stage or whatever? It's, like, cheesy, but, like, I think about, like, in, like, the first Avengers movie.
Yeah.
Like, when the Hulk shows up. And they're
right.
Like, they're like, what, like, you have to, you should, it's about time to get mad. And he's like, I'm always mad.
Right.
That's like fucking
no,
like kind of
like,
my thing.
No, like, you kind of got to get in that. I think everyone also has that like mindset when they get on stage of depending where, you know, the toughest thing for me is performing at mics like where everyone sort of knows each other is the hardest.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like one of the reasons I really like going to other places other than in the Long Branch area for like, you know, puns and punchlines and stuff like that is like those people love me so much. It's like I want to go somewhere where I'm like challenged. That's like
yeah, yeah.
That's like what I like. I like
yeah.
when like I can actually prove something instead of being like, oh, I can rely on this.
Yeah, yeah.
Just do this. Like that's the thing that's been so tough about, you know, I've been writing this thing for 4 years. I'm calling it What the Dwight is Wrong with Me. And I have the 10 minutes. Like the first 10 minutes is like done. And
right.
like I can do that anywhere. Like I go to if I go to a new mic, I can do, you know, 5 or 7 minutes of that 10 minutes.
Right.
And it'll fucking work everywhere.
Right.
But a lot of people kind of have to see me do it constantly. Cause there'll be like 3 people at a new mic and I'll be like, oh, new audience. I can do my old
shit. Right, right, right.
And it's like, no, we've heard this a million times.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, I'm always so mad at myself of how, like, I don't know if you have this, like, I wish I was more prolific. Because, like, everyone that I like is so prolific with their jokes, and, like, everyone's writing new stuff, and I'm like, I write... Stuff never comes to me, like, as fast as it does to other people.
Everyone's writing new stuff. I don't know. There's a lot of people that I know that have been doing the same jokes the whole time I've known them, more or less.
Right.
Recycling a couple of things in. I have, like, moments of, like, extreme creativity when it comes to that. And then I have nothing for fucking months at a time.
Right.
Like, I'll have, like, a week where I have, like, four new fucking jokes.
Right.
And then 2 months of nothing that's different.
And then you do those jokes, and then you're, like, they either become a part of the like, set, or they're just, like, oh, this will only work in some place, and this will only work somewhere. And this
I have such a bad way of organizing my material, because, like, is that the sump pump?
I don't know. It must be.
Damn.
There's always stuff.
Damn, Dickie Dweck getting them wet down here.
Yeah.
I've fucking jokes that people like that I forgot.
Right. Oh yeah, I have that too. Like that's the thing about doing comedy. A
like
long
there's shit
time
that I was
me.
Doing for a lot of times that I would do, and then like I fucking like I like somebody was like I really like that joke. And I'm like I forgot I even did that joke.
No, I brought back a joke recently. That I hadn't done in a long time because I just thought of it and I was like, that's, you know, and the cool thing to me is always looking at a joke from different ear perspectives of like, oh, I used to have this perspective on this joke and now I can think of it at this age and be like, okay, this is a little bit different than what I thought back then. And
yeah, you know, I mean, like, I would even like, it's kind of a cool way to do it. Like that was kind of the 4-4-4 thing or whatever, but like, you don't even have to do fucking an hour in one shot.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, you could do 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there.
Oh, yeah, for whatever. Sure. Yeah.
Like, because I think there was a lot of comedy albums back in the day that used to be like
yeah,
that.
They used to...
It wasn't like this pressure. And then you hear... It's so wild, though, because you'll see people talk about specials, and they'll shoot the special, like, 5 times.
Right.
And the same thing. And I'm always like... Then that makes me think, like, where are the cuts?
Where are the cuts, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it always
that
makes
me
think
sense.
That.
Yeah.
Like, I'm always like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah. I think, to me, my main thing is that, with it is, like, I sort of want it to be, like, just like, apt of, like, what it is, what it's supposed to be. It's like, okay, people will be like, yeah, this is it. And be, like, a fun time and be, like, something good for people to... Also, to be, like, an accomplishment. It's like, yeah, this is, like, something that I... You know, it's the toughest thing is, like... Finding a narrative to it, I guess, is the thing. Because I don't want it to be, like, a one-man show type thing and have, like, too much of a narrative. But it has to have a little bit of it just for, like, the, like,
that's
setting
the,
it up.
So that's an interesting thing that I would like to get better at to some extent. Mm-hmm. This idea that they're, like, a through line to a special.
Yeah.
Like, not making it seem, like, or a through line to a set, not making it seem like a forced whatever.
Right, yeah.
And then the ability, like, if you have a joke to go completely into that and then come back to what you were talking about before.
Yeah.
Is something I haven't figured out how to do. Like, how to, like, have a bit become a chunk that's 10 minutes kind
of. Yeah, exactly.
Like, I've only really figured out how to do that with the Diddy shit.
Right.
And, like, people figure out how to do that with all of
with their all their stuff. Yeah, that's the stuff that I'm envious about. I'm like, yeah, people can just build stuff from that. Sometimes I'll just have jokes and I'll be like, yeah, this is where it goes. And it just is that way. And it's like...
You could also just be non sequitur about it, though.
Oh, okay. Yeah, for sure.
Some people do that. Like, fucking Norman, Mark Norman crushes it.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
There's no fucking...
He's
you
so
know what I mean?
Good. Yeah.
Like, it just... Works for whoever it works
yeah,
for.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. It's such a cool thing, though, to, like, hear people's different perspectives on things. Especially for someone who I, like, consider has done it. Like, the album and everything that you did. Just, like, I like hearing that perspective of it. Because it's true. It's, like, it's whatever you do with it.
It's fucking good.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't... It's, like, it's more of it's harder in your head than it is in reality.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, it's just fucking get some fucking equipment, record some shit.
Yeah.
And it might suck, too. That's the thing, is it could suck
oh,
the first
yeah.
time you do it. Then you gotta do it again.
Yeah.
And it keeps sucking.
Yeah.
I mean, it's gonna suck. Like, shit's gonna suck.
Yeah.
You know? Like, the... I don't know.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the cool things, though, about, like, comedy is everything can sort of change in that way of, like, okay... Because I know that things have gotten better. And I'm sure you have looked at stuff and been like, oh, yeah, this is better than when I started doing this.
I'm absolutely better than when I started.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, I would hope so.
Yeah. I mean, it seems also... And also, you just... Like, talking about, like, we didn't even really get to talk about him, but, like, being around Franco, like, he's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
Just being around him, like, do you have sort of that thing of, like, oh, like, you kind of want to match his energy, or are you kind of not really think about that?
He can put me in a different, like, level than maybe I would be without him being around, but I think we're pretty comfortable doing that tag team stuff. Like,
yeah.
We play off of each other pretty well.
Yeah,
I just want to fucking ride his coattails, dude. That's all I'm.
No, that's smart. Yeah. I mean, he's just.
I say that jokingly.
No, but no, I've seen how good he's like getting, and I've seen also some other things where it's like people underestimate the level that he's at. I think that happens a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, he's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, he's so good.
Very funny. He's a good dude, you know?
Yeah, that's always a cool thing, too, is, like, kind of, like, we don't really think about it a lot, but, like, that's one thing that I like, is when someone is, like, a good person, like, really cool, and they just get it, and it's, like, it feels like justice when someone is, like, good, and they're good, and you're, like, yes, and it's recognized, like, yeah.
Yeah, he's, I'm happy that we're friends. He's fucking hilarious.
It's so cool.
It's super fun doing that show with him. I think that show is, like, unfortunately, I think you have to have some kind of, a niche.
Right.
This shit. I think that's a niche-y way. You know what I think of, like, from a space of more successful people, what it reminds me of? Like,
right.
What I would like to maybe do with that show is, like, what the Are You Garbage size?
Oh, yeah.
So, like, they do that live show. That's, like, my new favorite show.
Oh, yeah. I love those guys.
Those guys are the best.
They're great.
Because they just seem like regular dudes.
They seem like
regular dudes. They remind me of my fucking older brother, like, just hanging out with, like, fucking dirtbag kids from the suburbs or whatever. But, like, I think that, like, their podcast, and then they do that live show version of it, and then they do stand-up. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That they get to go do that.
Yeah.
It's, like, that would be a cool model to be able to get to.
Right.
It's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's so cool to talk about comedy with you. Because, like, you're also, I never know how talkative you're going to be during certain points. So I'm like, yeah, it's going to be, like, good to hear your whole perspective on it. Sometimes. Yeah, so it's, like, it's cool to hear that. And I'm so glad that, like, you were able to do this.
Thanks,
man. And I love, like, you know, the only thing that I wish I could do is I love doing your podcast. Because I was on the other one.
Yeah.
I'd really love to do the Hunk Yard again. Because
The next time that McCracken comes down.
Yeah.
Down here and it's local or whatever, we'll get you on.
Yeah, okay.
100%.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I love listening to that. And it's just the way that you guys interact is, it's crazy.
You said something before and I had a question. And
pardon me if
it's a little.
No, you can ask.
You were talking before about how you were talking to, like, the autistic, that, what was his name?
Keith Resley,
Does it bother you that that's become, like, such a lazy
person? Well, yes. I actually have a whole thing on that. I do get annoyed by certain ways that the word is used.
Right.
A lot of people use it now as, like, sort of, I guess, a synonym for, like, hyper-fixated on something. And to me, it's, like, it's a whole spectrum of things. So, like, and also, like, it's funny. I have this new joke that I've been working on. Because I'm friends with a lot of autistic comedians, like, fellow autistic comedians. It's funny because there's a couple that, like, they want to be, like, they're a little bit more well-known. They kind of want to have that, like, label as, like, the autistic comedian.
Uh-huh.
And it's, like, I just think that happens with everyone that they sort of get annoyed at. I'm sure there's comedians that are disabled in other ways that are more popular than others.
Right.
That people just get annoyed at. That they're like, I want to be.
Yeah.
And then to me, I'm like, no one should be that. It's like, there's too many of us for it to.
It's like a weird thing that I've noticed. Like, I've noticed that, like, that, like, autistic or autism has become, like, a way to for people to sneak saying retarded.
Right, yeah.
If that makes sense. Like, oh, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
totally.
Like, people are like, oh, we can't say retarded anymore.
But we can say that now, yeah. Like, and, know? Like, to me, it's just something that, like...
And then so many people are like, oh, my autism is this or whatever.
Right. And to me, like, I get in that headspace, too, of, like, I know my thing is very specific. And also, like, I'm just very lucky, too, because there's just layers to it. So it's like,
right.
You know, I'm functioning to a degree that it's like, you know, that's what I always feel like. I have this thing now of just like, but that's the thing that I'm working on now with my jokes. It's just like, I don't want to be seen as that, like, caveat, really. It's just like what that is. Like, but everyone wants to sort of label everyone as something.
Like you're saying, like, you don't want to be, like, funny for the autistic guy.
Yeah,
you know
what I'm yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, I never want to be, like, seen as the, like, also, like, I guess, advertised as that either. Of, like, you know, I think it's a good thing that, like, I wasn't thinking about it, but when I had the last person on the podcast, they said, like, that I could do, like, shows that are sort of, like, I guess, like, more, like, fundraisers and stuff right. for, like, special needs people. And it's like, I do that.
Right.
But, like, I'm not against that, but it's not, like, something that I ever really thought of. And it's like, you know, it's just, it's not a thing. And to me, I just had such a, it's been such a hard thing to put into my comedy and be, like, honest about it. And be like, sure. Okay, this is what, that's the whole reason, like, what I'm doing with this, like, special or whatever, 45 minutes I wanted to do, is, like, I'm calling it what the fuck is wrong with me. A lot of it is, you know, and I don't want to make it, like, one-man show dramatic at all. I want it to be straight pure stand-up. And it's not just that. I have a lot of other jokes inside of it. But it does cross into that narrative of, okay, I talk about this stuff with my autism and my depression and everything. And then I feel like it sort of describes everything and puts a context into everything that I'm doing.
Right.
And then it's like, okay, I can go into this other stuff. And it's strong enough that it's like, these jokes work.
Right.
But it's like, it's also a good thing of like, okay, this kind of wraps around to a good thing. It's also levels of pacing and getting better at, you know, to me, I'm like, the way I'm an asshole in that I hate comedy classes. Whenever I see people teaching, like, people how to do comedy, I'm like, no, that's bullshit. Because to me, I'm like, the fun thing to me is learning how to do it yourself.
Sure.
Like I taught myself to do everything. I taught myself to do, you know, I taught myself last year how to do callbacks. It's like, that stuff is, like, I'm proud of.
I don't think they're inherently good or inherently bad, but it's always the kind of thing.
Yeah, it's just something that
I
like, become, like, an asshole about.
It's always a little suspect. It's like, all right, bro, like, if you're so good at this, why aren't you?
Right, exactly. That's the way that I
use. It's kind of rough. Like, it's not, like, a rough thing.
It's like those who can't do teach. Like,
sort of. But, I mean, there's something to be taken away from all that kind of stuff.
And it's like, some people have good intentions. Like, that's the same thing. That's the thing that I always get wrapped up in. Is like, I'll be critical of something that's like, well that person has
funny, so the first time that I met Franco,
yeah,
a friend of mine did a comedy class with Franco at Scotty's,
oh,
of all places.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, it's not like everybody that does a comedy class is a fucking...
Right.
You know what I mean?
Scotty's, that's... I haven't been there in a long time.
And I just thought about that because somebody else, just graduated from that
really?
And did like the bringer there.
Oh, they did the bringer.
And then they like DM'd me to ask me. I'm like, I'll have to ask for advice. Like, I don't know. Like, just so I could tell you. Like,
right.
Like,
you just. I think the one thing with that's really cool about like this community of comics is you just need to be there. That's all you need to do.
Yeah.
You just need to be there. You just need to show up and like be cool to be around, and just like
the only thing that I believe like. With certainty as far as, like, anything that I would say to, like, somebody that's starting, because I'm fucking nowhere. Like, I'm whatever. The only thing I would say is, like, people, like, want to be like, well, I'm doing da-da-da. It's like, you just have to get on stage.
Right.
There's no other way to do it. You can't fucking practice in the mirror or whatever.
And, like,
I mean, maybe that's good for you, all that kind of shit. You just have to get on stage. But the other thing that I think is that I believe 100% is if you think it's funny... You'll find a way to have other people think it's funny.
Oh, yeah,
for
sure.
If you don't think it's funny, nobody else is going to think it's funny.
Right.
Like, if you don't think it's funny, why would they think it's funny?
Yeah, it's got to sort of...
If you don't believe it, why should anybody else?
And if you... It's also, like, whatever you put into... Like, not to be corny either, but, like, whatever you put out into there and you show that you like what you're doing.
Right. It's not even a conscious thing. It's not even a conscious. People pick up on that stuff. People whether, know. Whether, like, there's a whole level of, like, human interaction where people, that's unspoken.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and that, dude, that could be, like, a funny angle that you could take is, like, the idea of, like, the way that people read, like, be like, I got you. Like, I tricked you.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like but that's what this whole thing is playing with people's perceptions.
Right.
So if you think it's funny, if other people don't think it's funny, I always joke. I have a buddy who, we'll be talking and he'll be like, write that down. That's a bit.
Right.
Because I just call him and fucking, I be myself to a certain extent. Or I'll tell him I have an idea for a bit. And it's like a running joke is like, if he doesn't like it, it crushes.
Oh.
Like, it's like, whatever he doesn't like it. He's like, I don't get it. It's like he didn't get the Diddy shit.
Oh.
Like, he didn't get, like, any of that stuff. Like, I fucking, I'd be like, if he doesn't like it, like, it's good. Like, he's like a fucking, like a bellwether, like an anti, like, he's like the other side of the magnet.
Right.
If that makes sense.
That's cool. I have a friend that's, like, the opposite of that, but, like, my closest friend, like, we can sort of be together and be like, I don't think I could ever say this on stage, but it's funny. It's like, that's always a cool thing, too. It's just people's different
you could always
perspective
say
is like, yeah, you can always
say it on stage. You just got to avoid certain shit. Like,
oh, yeah, for sure.
I mean, really. I mean, if it's funny, dude, you could say it on stage. Yeah. I don't know. I think you could say I think you could say anything on stage. There's consequences sometimes.
Oh, yeah, there's consequences for sure.
Like, I'm not one of those guys like, you can't say anything anymore. No, you can say whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah, you can.
Some people are not going to like it.
No. It's like,
if you get more people to like it than don't like it, then you're doing your job.
Then you're doing your thing, yeah. That's one thing that I think is a good perspective. Like, you have a good perspective of looking at things. Because I think a lot of people, like, that's the one thing that sort of annoys me now. That's a huge, like, thing in comedy that people always talk about. Is, like, that whole we can't say anything. It's like, I don't agree with that at all. You know, I've seen it done so many times. I'm like, oh, you can imagine.
Dude, you can 100% say it. You know what you just have to be funny.
You know what was really cool to see?
And you're going to fuck up trying to be funny. You're going to fuck up something.
Anything you try to do that isn't, like, natural, like, when I started to kind of become that, like, cult of personality, like, the reason I had my roast was because at the Brighton Bar, I would leave to go home to watch wrestling, and then all my friends would sort of, like, make jokes about me.
Right.
And then it sort of rubbed off on other people wanting to do it to fit in.
Right.
And then it was like, the people that I wasn't even friends with were starting to, like, make fun of me. And the bartender would get annoyed because I wasn't there.
Right.
And he'd have to explain to people, like, oh, that guy's not here anymore. And then I was like, I'll do this big roast where everyone can get all their jokes in.
Dude, you probably, if there was 10,000 hours of stage time at the Brighton Bar, jokes about you were probably, like, 3,500 hours.
Yeah, yeah.
It was crazy.
I felt so bad for people. I was like, because I knew it was becoming a problem, and I was mad about that, and I was upset about that.
It was just them being fucking lazy, dude. Yeah, I'm thinking they had some good shit, dude.
Yeah, and it was like,
every time I've seen you smack somebody down, you fucking smacked them down, dog.
Yeah.
And I love that shit.
I was like, no, I'm like, because to me, the reason why I like being roasted by people, because for a lot of my life, I was made fun of by the most unfunny people in the world.
Right.
So when I have a close friend in comedy who can make fun of me and is good and is, like, funny, is, like, that was a cool thing about being with VJ. Like, hanging out with him was so cool because he's funny, but on, like, a whole smart level. It's like, it's, like, so cool to be around. And, like, there's just certain people, like, I'm just around and I'm just like, yeah, this works. And then I think people just, the perception thing is crazy, you know, how people.
Well, it's like you gotta roast your friends. Like, if you're roasting somebody that's not your friend, you're just being a dick.
Yeah. And like, you know that was the funny thing with, like, Caprio. Like, we became super close immediately. Like, he started making fun of me right away when we became super close friends. And it took a long time for people to realize that we were friends in real life. I'm like, no, I talk to that guy every day.
Yeah, if Caprio ever makes it, dude, he owes you.
Yeah. He, I feel so bad for him that he's not able to do it at the level that he wants to do it now, or be able to do it at all, just with his traveling issues or whatever. Yeah. But I feel like I think also he's getting comfortable with not doing it, that I'm getting, like, worried that he won't do it. Because he did it for a good, like, 10 years. So it's like, you know, he has enough where it's, like, been enough time for him not to do it anymore. But, like, he really should. I'm like, because there's just so much more that he can do. I always feel like he's someone who would, like, It's sort of like the Dangerfield thing. Like, I feel like he would be really funny when he's 50. Like,
maybe he'll come back.
Like, that would be like...
Yeah.
Like, that level, that age of Gabriel would be.
Everywhere.
Like, that age. But, yeah. So, do you have any other stuff coming up?
New Year's Eve, Franco and friends at the dojo. I'm doing that, and we might have a little surprise on that.
Oh, sweet.
Then we're going to start doing tag team the second and fourth Wednesday. Every second and fourth Wednesday at the Dojo of Comedy East in Morris Plains.
Yeah.
I got a show that my friend Jimmy's putting on at the Belmar Arts Center in January.
Yeah, that's a great place, the Belmar Arts Center.
It's an awesome place. Rest of it, I don't know. I got to start going back to Philly and New York and shit and whatever. I just got to, you know, do whatever I got to do.
Right. It's like getting the reps in and getting into
everything.
Yeah,
everything. My New Year's resolution is to just do comedy more again. I don't know.
Right, yeah.
Check out the Hunk Yard.
Yeah, for sure. That's also on Spotify. It's great. It's like, you know, I love that just so much. You guys have so much fun.
It's a lot of fun. I'll do that, even if it never goes
there. Right, yeah, fun. This is great. Well, thank you so much for doing this.
You got it, dude.
Yeah. All right.